It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Empire.
Welcome to Inside the Cap. I'm your host, Joel Corey. You can find me on Twitter at Corey Joel. That's C-O-R-R-Y-J-O-E-L. You can also read my regular CBSSports.com column, Agents Take on NFL Salary Cap and Contract Matters. This time around, we're going to take a look at Joe Burrow's contract situation. The expectation has been that at some point before the start of the 2023 regular season, Joe Burrow would become the league's highest paid player. Currently, that is Lamar Jackson at $52 million per year. His deal has $135 million fully guaranteed and $185 in overall guarantees. He signed a five-year deal as the Baltimore Ravens franchise player, and the deal was announced right before the NFL draft started on April 27th. Everything had been pretty quiet in terms of Burrow's contract situation, and we got our first new news yesterday. That was when Bengals owner Mike Brown and director of player personnel both spoke at the annual Bengals training camp luncheon, and Brown basically said he wants to get the deal done as soon as possible, and that he's not shocked where things were because they're highly competent people dealing with the situation. Tobin basically was going to be tight-lipped and said, I'm not going to give any updates. Maybe there are people here that will. He didn't have any updates in the contract negotiation. They're guys they'd like to get re-signed. Besides Burrow, that's primarily wide receiver T. Higgins, linebacker Logan Wilson. I mean, we want them here long-term. I think they know that we'll see what happens as we go, but that's the only date I have. I won't be giving any blow-by-blows here. So, going to be pretty tight-lipped. Now, Burrow is scheduled to make $5,545,018 in 2023 on an $11,515,043 cap number. $4,535,018 of Burrow's salary. The rest is in his league minimum, which is $1.01 million. That's his base salary. Is a third day of training camp roster bonus. So if they want to be able to have that little over $4.5 million, not be a cap charge, they have to get that done in the next couple of days. Once the training camp roster bonus date passes, third day of training camp, they open on Tuesday, Thursday, that's stuck. That happened with Josh Allen, that he had a training camp roster bonus. They didn't get the deal done before the training camp roster bonus date, so they had to work around it. Now, one of the theories is that Burrow and Justin Herbert are both kind of waiting to see who goes first, because I've always thought that whichever one of those two, and Burrow, obviously the first overall pick in 2020, Herbert, the sixth overall pick in 2020, whoever went last would end up getting the better deal. That the guy went first, that'd become the baseline for the other guy. Saw a situation like that in 2018, I should say. Players are two different positions, but both guys would get to the quarterback. Aaron Donald, interior defensive lineman, had been a defensive player of the year. At that point, Khalil Mack, edge rusher, had been a defensive player of the year. Donald got his deal done. And then he could barely been dry. And this was like right at the end of training camp. into the preseason games, back when he had four preseason games. He became the first $20 million per year non-quarterback at $22.5 million per year. A few days later, Khalil Mack gets traded from the Raiders to the Bears, signs for $23.5 million per year. So he used that deal as a template, both signed six-year extensions. So that's the dynamic that could be in play here. Burrow himself had made comments about his deal back in May. And at the time, Burrow said he was going to keep his teammates into consideration in his extension talks and that he'd been involved in discussions. That was in mid-May. And Ja'Marr Chase, his number one receiver and teammate at LSU, had said he knows what he has to do to win. He wants to win. He's a winning guy. He's a quarterback that's not always interested in money and all that other stuff. He just wants to win. That kind of led to some speculation that he's going to do the Patrick Mahomes type thing. And Mahomes signed a 10-year extension in 2020, where he's under contract for 12 years for $450 million, maxed out at $475 million with incentives. Now, when you talk about, and the thing is, the cash flow in this deal that Mahomes did, and it's very backloaded, it wasn't very impressive compared to other quarterback deals. What it did do was, in most years, there's most of the money in these early March roster bonuses, and in the early parts of the deal, the roster bonuses become fully guaranteed 2 years in advance, and then as the deal goes on, then 1 year in advance. The way you counted the guarantees in this deal is it was a little over $141 million in total guarantees, and what's guaranteed at signing was just over $60 million. At the time, the most fully guaranteed at signing was $94.5 million. The basic, the $141,481,905 in overall guarantees was an NFL record at the time. You don't include the roster bonuses as a part of the guarantees because they weren't guaranteed for injury once you got past the ones that weren't. They were just, they would become secure if he was on the roster on a certain date. So they were unguaranteed, unsecured, and would become completely secure early. Now, Mahomes only got $6 million more over his remaining 2 years than he was than if he played out his rookie contract, 20 and 2021. Now, if you look at some other deals that had been done within a year or two of that one, and particularly rookies, you had Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, who signed for $33.5 million per year and $32.8 million per year in 2019. Got $30 million and $29.6 million. And they signed with 2 years left on their rookie contract as well. More than they were supposed to make if they played out the rookie contract. So big disparity there. Even Myles Garrett, edge rusher, became the first $25 million per year non-quarterback in 2020. Got $23.75 million over those 2 years he had left on his rookie contract. So that's $17.75 million more than what Mahomes had in new money over the first 2 years. So we got low cash flow in Mahomes' deal, and it's backloaded. He's getting basically 44% of the new money through the first five new contract years. So it averaged $39.55 million through the first new five contract years. 56% is in the last five contract years. And he didn't hit the $40 million per year mark until 2027. Now, the idea was to put this deal out there so high that it would keep pace with the quarterback market, at least early on. And that hasn't been the case. Didn't take long for people to start using the various points of this deal as benchmarks. Because when Josh Allen did a six-year extension, his idea was, I want to be more than where Mahomes was after his six new years, which is 42.95. That's how he got to $43 million per year. when Deshaun Watson signed his first deal with the Texans same year, it came in at $39 million per year. And that was the top where Mahomes was after four new years. Then the quarterback market just started taking off. Aaron Rodgers becomes the first $50 million per year player in the NFL last year. The deal averaging $50.271 million. Then we had this year, Jalen Hurts joined him in the $50 million per year club at $51 million per year. Then Lamar Jackson at $52 million per year. Then last year, after Rodgers signed, Kyler Murray, $46.1 million per year. You have Deshaun Watson gets that five-year deal at $46 million per year. Russell Wilson, $49 million per year. So Mahomes is now seventh. After these two deals get done, he'll be ninth if they get done this year. And the Chiefs know they're going to have to do something with Mahomes' deal because it hadn't kept pace with the market. So if you were going to go this whole Patrick Mahomes thing, you got to keep in mind when he signed that model, when he signed, the highest paid player was Russell Wilson. He goes from 45, and he's at $35 million per year. $45 million to $35 million is $28.6 million as the increase. So, one, I wouldn't do the Mahomes deal if I'm Joe Burrow and his agent, Brian Ayrault. Certainly ain't going to be pushing for this. The only way this gets you get a deal like this is you got to remember the agent works for the client, not the other way around. And it's going to be directed by Burrow. Burrow would have to tell Brian Ayrault, I want to do something like Patrick Mahomes. But if you're really going to do something like Patrick Mahomes, then you're going to have to be almost 30% more than where the market is now at $52 million per year. And this is something that Mike Brown has expressed some affinity for how the Chiefs handle Mahomes' deal. He said on multiple occasions, I sort of like how Mahomes said he doesn't care about what these guys are getting. This was last July. He's set for life with what he's got. And why isn't that a good way to look at it? I'm thinking. So that's why I'm not ruling it out. It only gets done if it's directed by Burrow. But if you're talking similar increase as what Mahomes got over the marketplace on a 10-year extension, you're going to be looking at like $67.5 million per year. So where are we now? We're at 52. $67.5 million per year over the $52 million that Lamar Jackson has. That's 29.8. That's right there to 28.6. So you're going to be talking like a $675 million per year deal. $675 million total deal on the extension. And then when you, if you add what he has left to his contract, so it'd be basically a little over $710 million over 12 years. And if you add built-in incentives and the incentives that Mahomes had, $25 million in incentives, I'd want 50 to do this. May not necessarily want them to be based on winning a Super Bowl or MVP, which is what the 2.5 that Mahomes has each year is based on. But if you're going to do a deal like this, you plugging it into the Mahomes structure, you'd probably come out with about $205 million in overall guarantees, but you'd only have like 88 fully guaranteed at signing. And as I said, Hurts is at 110. And Jackson's at 135, fully guaranteed at signing. So you get a break that way. You'd only have $9 million more of new money through his existing contract years. Hurts has 20, which is even low because his deal is flat for the most part or neutral. He's got a five-year extension, meaning of the new money. After the second new year, he's got 40%, then 60%, then 80% in each successive year. So, if you look at Kyler Murray on the deal he signed, he's got $33.8 million of new money. And he has signed of 2 years left on his rookie contract through the remaining years. So, if you got Burrow of $9 million of new money, through these remaining years, then that's going to be very team-friendly in the structure. Now, you'd probably have like a $16 million signing bonus in a structure like this if you were going to go this route. And then through the first 5 years, you'd probably be averaging less than $60 million. You'd probably be like at $58.5 million per year through the first 5 years. The cash would stay, overall cash would stay low. Just kind of plugging in the numbers, like his cash through the first 3 new years, which would be 5 years total, would be like the $205 million. So the cash flow would work out in favor of the Bengals. But if you're going to go this route, the one thing I would want to do to avoid the Mahomes problem, where you're going to be outdated, there would have to be some sort of way for Mahomes to void out of the Burrow to void out of the contract if he's still playing at a high level. And since Mahomes is on the verge of dropping out of the top 10, he's gone in a span of 3 years from the highest paid to seventh to probably will be ninth. One thing I'd be very concerned about and want to protect is against him dropping out of the top 10. And I know $67.5 million seems like it's an outrageous number when we're at 52 right now per year. 45 seemed like an outrageous number in 2020 when Russell Wilson was at 35 and then the market just went haywire. I'd want to protect against that. So maybe if he's named to these Pro Bowl games on the original ballot in the immediate prior season two times, or maybe it's or something else, wins an MVP, Bengals win a Super Bowl, or statistically he's top five in certain categories. There's got to be some mechanism at some point where he has the option to get out of the deal. Wouldn't necessarily have to automatically void if he hits the trigger, but he'd have the option where he'd have to affirmatively decide, I'm going to void these years. And it would probably be after the initial proration would end. Because right now, as you know, you can prorate signing bonus over 5 years. You can prorate through 2027 right now. Mahomes deal, since the money's been in, a lot of money's been in roster bonuses, they've restructured a couple of years. They've kicked the can down the road. But that'd be the basic idea. If it ended up going this Patrick Mahomes route, and as I said, I think the only way you get the Mahomes type deal, the 10-year deal, is Burrow's going to have to tell his agent to do it, and I would feel very uncomfortable doing it under any circumstance, but particularly if you didn't follow the exact Mahomes blueprint, where I'm getting about 30% more in the market. It's not worth considering anyway. But if you are, that's about where it would have to be to me.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible, because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Okay, now getting away from this Patrick Mahomes type contract idea where you're going to be averaging $67.5 million per year and having over $50 million in a lot of cases in your per game roster, in your March roster bonuses, there are some challenges in doing a more conventional deal. Now, ideally, from Burrow's perspective, you'd want to do a four-year extension where you're under contract for six total years. You have the 2 years left on your contract. But that's not where the quarterback market has gone. We've seen the last few high-end deals, the exclusion of Aaron Rodgers, have been 5 years, like in Lamar's case, or any years, remaining years left on his contract. Or you're giving up 5 new years. Kyler Murray had 2 years left on his contract. He's in the same place these guys are in terms of his career when he signed it after 3 years. 2 years left on his rookie contract, 5 new years, 7 total years under contract. Russell Wilson, 2 years left on his contract, 5 new years. Jalen Hurts, contract year, 5 new years. So we're probably going to be talking about a 5-year extension in a traditional, conventional manner. So that's going to be the 2 years that you're existing and 5 new years. You're already under contract 23 through 24. Then you're going to tack on 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. So you're under contract through 2029 in this case. Now, that's not going to be the big sticking point. The Bengals, the way they structure contracts, they're in the dark ages, structurally. Now, the Bengals, what they do in veteran contracts is your only true guaranteed money is your signing bonus. And they do have these third or fifth day of the league year roster bonuses in March that are unsecured that are supposed to be substitutes for additional contract guarantees. But you can still get cut and not get the money because there's no guarantees associated with those. The only other team that does that is the Green Bay Packers. They made one exception, Aaron Rodgers. Everybody else, same thing that the Bengals do. The Steelers used to do that. They made a change a couple of years ago with T.J. Watt. T.J. Watt was the first Steelers player to get traditional guarantees. Signing bonus, base salary guarantees, where the amount is fully guaranteed at signing, or the injury guarantee could convert to being fully guaranteed. They'd never done that before until T.J. Watt. So I suspect if you're doing a traditional deal with Joe Burrow, considering Hurts, $180 million in overall guarantees, Lamar Jackson, $185 million overall guarantees, and you've got $110 fully guaranteed at signing with Hurts and $135 fully guaranteed at signing with Lamar Jackson, you got to set the new precedent, just like Pittsburgh did with Watt, with Joe Burrow. And Pittsburgh, what they did was they gave a record for non-quarterback for the amount fully guaranteed at signing, $80 million. You're not going to do that, set a record for the amount fully guaranteed at signing with Burrow because you got that Deshaun Watson fully guaranteed contract for $30 million. So that's out of the question. So you're probably going to be looking to beat the $135 million fully guaranteed at signing with Jackson and his $185 million total guarantees. Now, the Bengals seem to have been preparing for this because they did naming rights last year the first time with Paycor, payroll company in Cincinnati, gave the naming rights away so that, and then brought in more sponsors, thinking that they would be anticipating a Burrow deal where they were going to have to establish a new precedent. Pittsburgh's done it for another player since Watt, with Minka Fitzpatrick, but that's probably the route that is going to have to be gone. Now, from a traditional sense, Burrow becomes the highest paid player on a conventional deal, not the Mahomes where you got to throw it out there so far that you try to keep him from being outdated, which hasn't happened with Mahomes. There is a precedent for that, which is why him Burrow becoming the highest paid player is almost a given, should he choose to do that. Carson Palmer, 2003, was first overall pick, signed a six-year extension, averaging $16,166,167 per year. And that was at the end of his third regular season, right before the end of his third regular season, 2005. And back then, you could extend rookie contracts after 2 years, so he hadn't actually completed 3 years. Made him the highest-paid player. Obviously, Burrow's been better than Carson Palmer was. One thing that he has done, putting personal individual statistics aside, is Cincinnati's got 5 playoff wins in the last 2 seasons. And that's as many as they've had in the whole franchise's existence, and it's going into year 56. And they had in their first 52 years. So, become the highest paid player. We haven't seen much of a increase in the market, particularly with the last couple of deals. When Rodgers topped Mahomes, it was 11.7% more on average, $50,271,667 over $45 million. But when we're talking Hurts over Rodgers, Hurts at $51 million, that's a 1.45% increase. Lamar Jackson over Hurts, 52 to 51, that's basically 2%. If you look at the recent trend, this suggests from the last 2 deals done this year, Burrow's going to come in at 53. That'd be a 1.92% increase. I wouldn't want that. I would. Obviously, you're not going to get 11% more than Lamar Jackson, but I'd be looking to try to get $55 million per year if I'm Burrow. And if you average the average increase of the last 3 increases, which would be taking Mahomes, Rodgers over Mahomes, Hurts over Rodgers, Jackson over Hurts, that puts you at 4.79%. That puts you at about $54.5 million per year. But I really want to go $55 million. That'd be my magic number, $55 million per year. That'd be a $275 million extension over 5 years. Now, then the other problem is going to be cash flow. How's this thing work from a cash standpoint? I'd imagine Cincinnati, no matter what the number is, they're trying to shove this Hurts cash flow down Burrow's throat. And he's only got 7.8% of his new money through his existing contract year this year. That's low. And they did this weird structure where it's all, they have an option bonus each year, so they're basically doing the salary conversion that you do in March early by putting everything but minimum base salary into option bonuses, which are going to keep getting prorated. They've added a bunch of voiding dummy years, so they can keep stretching out the proration. So this is the most extreme structure I've ever seen of option bonuses. I don't think Bengals are going there. They typically don't do option bonus deals. But he's got 23.5% of new money through the first new year, which is low. 25 would be flat. I mean, 20, it's actually low, but 20% would be flat. It's usually much higher than that. You're usually pushing 30%. Like Lamar Jackson has got 31% of his money through his first new year. Then it's 40, 60, 80, 100. That's kind of low. But I imagine they're trying to stick Burrow with that structure. Jackson, he's at 31% through the first year, 43.3. Then it gets flat, 60, 80, 100. I wouldn't really want that either. Ideally, what you want is to be in that 30 to 32% range of your new money after the first year. You want to be about 45 after the second new year, around 62, or if you can get above that, great. Doesn't happen too often. 80 to 81 after the fourth new year. So that's going to be another issue. Now, if the Bengals are going to stick to their guns, and they're going to want to not do what the Steelers did, this deal gets very hard to do. Because the only way I can see this thing getting done, you'd have to set a record signing bonus. And right now, the biggest signing bonus is Lamar Jackson's at $72.5 million. So if you want to keep to your, there's nothing guaranteed but the signing bonus, that's a tough deal to do. We saw when Russell Wilson did his deal in 2019. He got a $65 million signing bonus, which was a record. It topped Aaron Rodgers' $67.5 million signing bonus. That's about a 13% increase on the signing bonus. And that's a team that doesn't fully guarantee contract the base salary in the second year at signing. They have it vest early, like fifth day of the waiver period, which is 5 days after the Super Bowl, the year two guarantee. The other guarantees come up in the year that they are, as opposed to having the guarantees vest early. By that, I mean if you had a 2025 guarantee, the injury guarantee would convert to fully guaranteed in 2024 with Seattle. When that year comes up, 2025 is when the 2025 injury guarantee becomes fully guaranteed. So he got the biggest signing bonus at the time in history as a record. If you've got Hurts of 110 fully guaranteed at signing, and you've got Jackson at 135. If you don't want to do what Pittsburgh did with T.J. Watt and set that new precedent, $100 million signing bonus. Cap-wise, I don't even think that's possible because right now the Bengals have about 19.6 in cap space according to the NFLPA. And when you make the switch, that's with the top 51. When you make the switch to where everything is counting, in September 7th, the day of the league opener, that's about a $3 to $5 million loss of cap space, depending upon how many people you get hurt, are hurt. You have the 16-man practice squad, so the guy number guys on IR, PUP, NFI, I mean non-football illness list, PUP, physically unable to perform, IR, injured reserve. So that's about a $3 to $5 million shift. So if you're talking a $100 million signing bonus, that's $20 million of proration right there. So that becomes very hard to do. And then you'd have to have the cash flow so front-loaded and then stick major amounts of money in these March roster bonuses that I don't really see how you get the deal done, because you'd have to have the deal ridiculously front-loaded. It would have to be something like through the first new year, like 37% of the money, like almost 50 through the second new year. It'd be like 65, 66 through the third new year, and like 82% of the money through your fourth new year. It'd be so player-friendly on the cash flow that it kind of leads you to go to, we're going to set the precedent with Burrow, then hold the line on everybody else and do our traditional structure with everyone except Joe Burrow, which is what Green Bay does. Now, those are my thoughts on the Burrow contract. We'll see if this whole waiting to see who goes first dance exists. But if Burrow goes first, he's going to have to know that Herbert's probably going to beat it by some small amount. I expect it to be, I don't think it's going to be the Mahomes contract. Could be surprised by that. And if it's not $65 million per year or more, it probably wasn't worth doing to me. I expect a five-year deal. Just because of the way the market has formed up. Five new years under contract, seven. Overall guarantees, probably approaching 200. Amount fully guaranteed at signing, upwards to 150. Minimum average, 53. Really should be about 55. Well, that's it for this session of Inside the Cap. Don't forget, you can find me on Twitter at Corey Joel, that's CORRYJOEL. And you can also read my regular CBSSports.com column, Agent's Take, on NFL salary cap and contract matters. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you back here next time. Goodbye.